The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good afternoon and welcome to The Barrington Show with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of The Barrington Show, Barrington.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Barrington Show. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Barrington on RealityRadio101.com. We aim to raise you to a higher level of consciousness and wake you up. Simply just wake up to realize that you are limitless. You've got all the tools that are required to make the life that you want. The one that you live in today is a collection of thoughts that you've had yesterday or the years past or days past. And the one that you will or could have or will have tomorrow would be of the thoughts that you're having now, proof that we should be living in the now, and by what we think about all the time is what set us on the path that we're on. Let's get connected to your spirituality. Let's realize that when you showed up here on this planet, you were fully equipped. You had everything with you that you needed to stay this course. Much like going camping, you bring everything because once you get there, you may need this, you will need that. It's not available. When we showed up, we have every single thing we needed within ourselves. It's inside our package, our instructions, our rules, everything, even life expectancy and health-wise and what you will do as a profession and a purpose, a message to deliver. Once you're here or something to do, you could be coming by yourself to serve a purpose, as well as you could be journeying with another group of people, others, maybe one or many more, to do something like a teamwork would. If you're going to play a match in say soccer, you probably need a team to play all the different positions. So therefore you come as a part of that group. But whatever happens, you did come here with all the qualifications to survival. For survival. Wake up and realize that. Wake up and realize that you were told a story a very long time ago that has taken you off your path, that has put you on a journey which is not your original plan. And what we need to do is to learn how to get back on track. There is no great prize at the end, and I've said this many times. The path simply keeps you from falling into the ditch. If that's your purpose, then so be it. If it's not, you don't want it to happen. We are told what is right and what is wrong. We're given instructions as how to live, where to live, what group of friends you should keep and not keep, how you should live your life. We're told many things, and some of us, obviously, we believe it 100%. And if you try to tell them you're going the wrong way, they will give you attitude and say, how do you know where I'm going? I get that. However, the method in which you carry on your life is a clear illustration as to you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing simply because you are not happy. The ultimate goal is for you to do what you set out to do and you feel happy. Wake up. Wake up to another level of consciousness. Wake up to understand the God that exists is you. And everything that you need within life is within you. The ability to connect to your spiritual guides, the ability to connect and follow the rules, all that nature has laid out, actually all that you have laid out for yourself before you join the human race, before you accept the body as to who you are. Your plan was already made by you. But then you come and then things happen. You end up in the wrong family, you end up in the wrong city, you end up in the wrong town, the wrong profession, the wrong groups of people are surrounding you. Whatever the purpose may be, it's up on you to find it. If you are where you're supposed to be, that might be your purpose. But if you're not being happy when you're there, chances are you've missed the bus, you've missed your train, or you've taken the train to the wrong direction, wrong destination. Wake up and find out who you are. And until then, you will always be questioning. If you're hearing me, you are searching. If you are searching, it is what you're supposed to do for what is next. What are the other rules? Where do I go now? How to live? How to change the environment? How to surround yourself with good company? Wake up is what we say. Wake up and become realized. Wake up and understand there's a lot more to you than is being presented. We've been given the comfort of sitting down, put our foot up on the sofa somewhere, have a beer and chill through life. And we've fallen into that category and we think it's the best thing for us because we've accepted it. But suppose you were the person who was supposed to be building the sofa or the couch. You are missing out on what you're supposed to be doing. We say wake up and find that purpose. Wake up is what we hope you will do. Wake up, everybody. Welcome to the Barrington Show. Thank you, all my new listeners, as well as my old-time listeners. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I say to everyone, welcome. Welcome home. You are home where you belong. You have found this journey on your search. You're hearing what I'm saying because you have been curious. This is it. You're home. Thank you for coming. Welcome home. Let's start the show. Today, we're going to talk about sin. Just sin. Before I get into it, and we want to ask all the questions as to what exactly is a sin? And is it the same? Is there a universal sin? If somebody was trying to kill you, you were told that killing is wrong. But what if that person was trying to kill you? Is it still a sin? And is it relevant to everybody? Do we all see sin as the absolute, a absolute? Or do we have our own version of what the sin is? It's interpretive. And I guarantee you that if you see it as wrong, you could label it as sin. But if you see it as right, then you say it's not a sin. And was sin made up by a group in trying to get you to live a certain way? Because I know that same group will say it is sin to kill, but at the same time, they'll press the switch on the electric chair. Well, killing is killing. Taking a life is taking a life. What exactly is a sin? Is it just interpretive? That if it's not in your favor, yeah, it's a sin. Or if it is in your favor, no, it can't be a sin. Where do we draw the line then between right, what is right, or what is wrong? And is there a universal truth? Well, answer that question. Yes, there is a universal truth, but it's not relative as to how it's going to benefit your life in an individual state. There is a universal truth. So we're going to talk about a sin and try to figure out exactly what it is. Is it real or is it just made up? There's a story about the lion. And this young lion, as a cub, was birthed by nature or his mother. And here he is, young lion. And he has the speed and the agility and the know-how and the teachings from nature. He grows up to become a full-grown lion. He meets a lioness and they have a baby together, another cub. That same lion that has the speed, the agility, the strength, the claws, the teeth, has a responsibility to that little cub to feed him and protect him and take care of him. So this now papa lion goes out and kills a zebra chase it down, capture it, kill it, and bring it back to, or bring the kids to it. I don't know how that part worked, but he feeds the lion, the babies. He has done everything according to the laws of nature. He has acquired the skills, the speed, the strength, and the know-how to protect and guard and take care of his cubs. Everything that he did was by the laws of nature. Did nothing wrong. At no time was he smoking weed back in the portable. He was following every single stage or step of his development and his growth until he became an adult and he did what he did. And everything he did was right, absolutely right. No sidesteps. Now we could go interview the family of the zebra. And their first remark is, that lion is so unfair. He ate my uncle, killed and ate my uncle. That is so wrong. How could he do that? Well, he's being responsive by the laws of nature and he's following the rules by the laws of nature. And he's right. And at the same time, he did eat your uncle. So definitely he's wrong. Or is it just interpretive? I'm sure the zebra is going to see it as wrong and the lion is going to see it as right. Who's to tell? How does that equate to us talking about sin? Well, if it's not relative to you, you might say it's a sin. And if it's not in harm in any way to you, you might say it's not a sin. So it brings us back into, where did the sin come from? And is it real? We want to touch on that today, because I tend to believe if I create an establishment, I will have rules for this establishment and I will have people come in and join me, but then present them with a list of the rules that they cannot break. You must abide by these rules. And I'll even go even further and say, you know, it wasn't my list. It kind of came from, you know, let's just pick something out of the midair. It might have come from God, and those are his rules, and you have to abide by them. And if you don't, well, you're going to suffer greatly, and, you know, you're going to not make it into the kingdom of heaven. So these are the rules, and you must abide by it while you're part of this house, this organization, this group. Is that an absolute? Because there's a lot of people out there who disagrees with those rules being the rules that they need to govern everything in their lives by. These rules were made by somebody, and I think they just kind of put a spin on it to get you more convinced by saying it was inspired. Well, if that was the case, it would have been downloaded to me right away, right? Or to you. Has anybody ever received these rules given to them without pen or paper? Or text or a loudspeaker? It just came to you and you knew innately how to react and how to behave? Well, that might be the universal truth by you just knowing what is to be done and you do it. That could be considered the universal truth. When someone tells you it's wrong, you may disagree simply because of the rules that were given to you by the laws of nature. If somebody's telling you these are the rules, chances are they were made up, because the rules cannot apply to everybody at the same time. Remember the lion and remember the zebra. There cannot be an absolute right or wrong in this situation. The poor zebra is going to think it's wrong, where the lion knows it's right, and there's a conflict right there. Nobody is committing a sin, including the two animals. But I bet you the zebra think the lion did commit a sin. And that's how he's looking at it. So it's easy to conclude that a sin is relevant to how it affects you. You know, and the laws that govern our land will sort of go on the side of what's in favor of. The laws give things to us that we cannot abide by. Don't pee in public. How could you not do that? What if you have to go right now? What are your choices? Or don't steal. Well, if you're hungry enough, you will take something to survive, because that was given to us by the laws of nature. It's called survival. I don't know that you need to take $2 million worth of it, but you need to get something to sustain you for now. And these are nature's laws. You will react to nature's law at the end of the day, because you're still alive. And if you become hungry enough, you will seek food or rest or whatever it may be. And it cannot be considered a sin because you are being governed by the laws of nature. We need to tap in and learn what the laws are and to follow them as best as we can, simply because it's an easier path, the path of least resistance. We have that option. We have that right. We have the ability to create all we need to create. But we're being governed by laws that was given to us by someone else telling us how to live. We have to be tolerant. You will know that if you're following the laws, the universal truth. You have to be acceptance. You have to love. You have to share. You have to help. You will know all of that. None of it is going to teach you to take from others what is not yours or to cause them harm. That's not your job. What is sin? Have we got any emails?
We do have a couple of emails. And before I read those, folks, if you're just tuning in, and we can see that you are listening to The Barrington Show right here on Reality Radio 101. If you'd like to write in with a question or a comment, our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Carol did that. And she says, Barrington, when you said we are born with everything that we need, what about people that are born handicapped? Why are they born then? Do they need their handicap? And that's from Carol. Thank you, Carol, for that. And Ryan writes in and he says, murder and killing are two different things. I believe in self-defense. I do not believe in someone going out and just killing someone for no reason or for a robbery, etc. But if we are attacked, say with a weapon or even something in bare hands, if we defend ourselves and we end up killing someone, that's not murder to me. That's self-defense, and I had to kill that person to save my life. That's from Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. And Stan wrote in and he said, the analogy of the lion and the zebra, brilliant. That's from Stan. And back to you, Barrington.
Thank you, Stan. We're going to start there. Thank you very much for that. It's not mine. I read it many, many years ago. I kind of added to it, actually. But thank you. I need to always put something out there that's relatable and that you could make sense of it for your own life. And so we could see it. We're caught up all the time by watching what's in front of us and not stepping back and taking a good look of how life works. If the lion wasn't available, if the zebra was not available, the lion wouldn't be there. You know, he'll be somewhere else eating something else. And if that something else wasn't available, he would have to, well, he would pass on, wouldn't he? Or become a vegetarian, which I don't see how that's possible. Anyway, the whole idea is that this circle of life, where one purpose actually aids the next, and we may not agree with the method in which, like the zebra has no way of agreeing with that, but he does serve a purpose, you know, and his purpose, I guess, is for something that is unknown to us. And this is how the circle of life works. You have to contribute. When one tree falls, another one grows, right? And the cycle just continues. And when you fall, you will grow back again, and so on and so forth. And the cycle just continues. A lot of us are confused thinking that we could leave here. We don't ever leave here. Once you're finished with this body, and I've said it many times, you lay it down, you get a new one, and you continue. You're in the journey where one tree falls, another one grows. And this happens with us. I'm going to tie that into what... Carol was talking about. Why are some people coming here in, in a deformed way, handicap? I don't like that word because it's confusing at times. So thank you very much for your email there, Stan, and I hope I answered. I did what You got the message I was trying to deliver in why I use these analogies. So thank you very much for that, Carol. Okay, so when you're saying that someone is coming here and they're handicapped, is that judgment or is it the group of people who decided that we're going to label this other group of people with that title? Because it does sound fitting, no pun intended. However, you need to know the person's purpose. You need to understand what purpose am I serving? Now, last week we had a question about why are there so many people coming here today and now? Why do we have 7.6 billion people on the planet where 30 years ago is 5 billion and so on and so forth, or 35 years ago? Anyway, the point being is that when they show up here, we don't understand the purpose of why they've come. What if, and this is a hypothetical for you, that disabled or handicapped person, as you mentioned, those are your words, was coming here to teach me a lesson in how to be humble or how to be a good caregiver, how to take care of somebody. That person was coming in a handicapped body to say, here's how you learn how to be a good caregiver. You can't answer those questions unless you understand the person's purpose of being here or your purpose of being here. If we didn't have that person coming in to teach me that lesson, I probably would have no idea of how to give care to others, which is necessary. People come here for a very brief moment, a year, 3 years, 5 years, a minute, and their deliverance or their message that they're delivering actually serves a purpose. There is a purpose. Now, if the baby is born, birth, and it comes out alive, then that's the message. Sometimes when they don't make it to full pregnancy, they weren't ready, the body wasn't ready, and it was not accepting this transaction to go through. So this is why a lot of the times the babies didn't make it through. The head didn't open for the spirit to come in, for the soul to come in, to make that a whole. So the mission was, pardon the expression, canceled. But if they made it here, whichever form that they're in, they have a message to deliver. They have a purpose that they serve. And if that parent out there who has a child who's disabled or adult or anybody, there's something in it for you to learn. There is a message. You will understand. You'll always say, why? Why me? Why does it have to be me? But why not you? And who do you recommend for this job? They serve a purpose. They didn't. I can't tell you why they chose the handicap method, but what message are you delivering, and what package, or what mail delivery style will you use, and what package will you wrap it in? That message is only you. You're the only one who will know what that is. But you're gone. So you've delivered the message and you've left, and you'll come back again. I don't know. And I would say, I don't know if they purposely choose handicap, but what if the message required that? There's always a message and something's being delivered. We need to find that message. Ryan, you were talking about the differences between murder and self-defense. I totally agree with everything that you've said. Yes, if somebody is trying to take your life, you will do whatever you can in that moment to stop it from happening, because you also have the ability or want to survive. So you will defend yourself to the best of your abilities, and everybody would applaud you for that. And yes, there's a huge difference between murder and self-defense, but at the end of the day, it is still a life being taken. So we as society say we could forgive you because he was trying to take your life, but you did take a life. A life is a life, being it how it happened. If you press the switch on the electric chair to end that person's life because we say he was horrible, or we sign the papers for you to go to jail for the rest of your life or go on death row, or we pull the chain from the guillotine, we're still taking a life. A life is taken. The man who was on that guillotine had done something horrible, and you feel we as a society say we must penalize him. But a life is still being taken. Is the guy who's pressing that switch on the electric chair or giving you the injection in your arm less of a killer? Or is he justified? Was that a sin? Because we elected him to be the button pushing person, is it less of a sin? A life is still taken. A life is a life. At some point, we all got together in the town square with our picnic lunches and our family to watch somebody hang from a rope or get their head chopped off or however they did it, or crucified, a time to a cross. And, you know, we all paid attention to that. Now, because we've become a lot more civilized, it's not as prevalent. It's not as, you know, you don't hear anybody say, no, I'm going to the town hall tomorrow. There's a lynching going on, or there's a, you know, somebody's head's being chopped off. So we've educated ourselves. A life is still being taken. And a life is a life. A life is a life. A life is still being taken. And is the guy who's pushing the switch more guilty than the other guy? I don't know. It's still a life. Should we call that, though he wears a suit and he's being paid by maybe the government official, it is still considered a life being taken. I hope I answered that or clarified it for you. Yes, there's a huge difference between murder and self-defense. We tend to think murder is a chemical imbalance and something went wrong, so you lose it. Well, obviously something went wrong because, well, we don't wake up one morning and decide to be a murderer. I don't think that's the case at all. But something's gone wrong, and there's a huge difference between murder and self-defense. It's a chemical imbalance, or something went off, or you just lost anger, got really angry at that moment and did something horrible, and you now will have to pay for it for the rest of your life. But there's a huge difference between murder and self-defense. I hope I answered that question for you nicely. We're talking about sin today, and yes, we're trying to define what is the difference between what you consider to be sin versus what somebody else considered the same act not to be a sin. And where do you stand on that? Is sin just made up? Is it something we made up? And the only thing, if you're an atheist, for example, and you're never reading the Bible, you might not even know what a sin is. I'm just saying. So a group of people has outlined some instructions, some rules for you to follow. And you're following them, and instantaneously you said, yes, no, we can't do that. That's a sin. You can't think of being in a loving relationship with a person if you're following this particular group. Let's just say this one group. Let's call them nuns. And then you're in your early 20s, and all of a sudden you feel this attraction towards somebody else. Well, it's a sin to follow that, but it's been given to you by the laws of the land, the laws of nature. And which one are we to follow? One has been proven to be truth, and the other is just words coming from maybe a book. Is it a sin? Is it a sin for you to have a thought? Because the books will tell you that. You have a thought, you've committed a sin. And thank God the law didn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because, you know, we all think about things. But if you had this thought, it's considered a sin. Is that real? Or is it just part of the rules that you were told to abide by? And where do you draw the line? What do you call sin? I'd love to know that. Because I'm pretty sure everybody's opinion of sin is going to be different. Which one, which group or which words do you pick that's relative to your life? That you will say, I'm going to follow these rules, and then I'm not sinning. I'm not going to follow those rules because that's a sin. Is it real? Or is it just made up? Where do you draw the line? I want to talk today a little bit more, a little bit about, I was having this conversation this week, and I was talking to this guy who's obviously realized. Realized means that you're woken up. You're subconsciously alert, and you understand that there is a spiritual existence and a life that's beyond the physicality or the physical part of you. That's what being realized is. You're awake. You are awake, and now you know there's more. So anyway, we're having this conversation, and of course, shortly into the conversation, I realize that he has the ability to stimulate in other people the method in which to heal them. He doesn't have the ability to heal, but he has the ability to wake up that sense in you that will start your own healing process. Amazing. And he gave me the demonstration and I realized you've got this gift. You can heal. A lot of people do have the gift. They're not healing you. They're basically taking you to the areas in which healing will happen. Much like you giving me a ride to the hospital to get my broken leg fixed. You're not fixing it for me. You're making it easier for me to get access to it because my leg's broken. So you took me there and you've introduced me to the person that can actually repair that broken leg, which is ourself. When somebody stimulates that in you to wake you up, you realize you could heal yourself, then they're just showing you the path in which to take. But the healing process begins with you. That driver is simply just suggesting that if you turn left, turn right, go through here, go over the hill and through the valley, bang, you'll find that spot for you to heal. Because you have, and I talked about this briefly, about coming with the full package, everything that we have. And that was a part of Carol's email, and I didn't get a chance to address it. Everything that you show up here with is entirely yours. And you have the ability to utilize all these tools to create the perfect or the best you. That's the intent. You do show up with a full package of everything. And I went on for a little bit and talked about the handicapped person or people and not addressing the fact that Carol, you're absolutely right. Sorry. You do show up with everything that you need, fully contained. Much like when you go camping, you show up with everything that you're going to need. Because once you're there, that item isn't available, readily available. Therefore, you make it easier. They bring everything to life when we accept a body, when we accept birth. Everything that you will need to get through this is within. And you just have to know how to go within to get that set of instructions to fix this, to repair that, to remove this, to do all these things that is absolutely necessary. In my conversation, and I found out this guy has the ability to heal, he also talked about the remedies that's available for the healing, for whatever the illness may be. There's a remedy, there's a situation. It's the bottom line to all of it, and it ended up, our conversation went right to the food that we consume. Our food is our medicine. The food we eat should be the medicine that keeps you well and keeps you healthy. I've said this from day one on this show many times. You'll always want to eat the food that is created by nature, the food that God made, not the ones that the labs made. Because the ones that the labs make, they're kind of nice and they taste good and they're, you know, easy and fast and all these things like fast food, but it's not doing you any justice. So the bottom line comes down to the food that you consume should be of a plant-based diet. It grows just like you and it's alive. And you're taking live food, putting it into a live body, and they connect together energy-wise to produce a healthy body. Live food into your live body will give you the best results of life because they're both alive. When you take a product that you've killed and cooked or barbecued and spice it up, it is dead and it's already decaying because this is happening right after death. And you're consuming it. So you're putting dead on top of alive. And they don't work well together. The live food is alive to give you the maximum energy or you get the benefits from it. But if you killed it a couple of months ago and you're consuming it today, it's already on the way out. Anything of any value is no longer there. You want the live food to go into the live body to create an amazing outcome. And your body will break it down in a few hours, maybe 8 or so. But if you're eating that food that has been dead for a very long time, it's going to sit with you for a very long time because it doesn't have the ability anymore to decompose itself. It's just simply going to rot. And you're putting in the energy to help it or to create it or make it happen. You have to put the live food in the live body. This brings about the plant-based diet. And you will enjoy it, it'll take care of you, and it will repair things in your body that's been broken or missing or, you know, not as prevalent as it was at one point because you've been putting other things into the body. If you pour water in your gasoline tank to drive your motor vehicle, it won't work. Maybe the gas that's in there already, because it's probably heavier, will probably float to the transmission or sorry, to the engine and get it running, but inevitably it's going to collapse. So everybody knows to put the right fuel in that vehicle for it to perform. It's not any different with your body. Now, we could eat a lot of junk food and survive, but we have. We've been doing it for many generations. Not saying we shouldn't do what we need to do to get the best performance. And it's to eat right, rest, take care of yourself, rest. And every once in a while, you must take a break. Take a little break. Give the organs, give the digestive system, give everything a chance to just relax for a minute. Well, however long it takes, try fasting. Just give it a break for it to restart and perform the way it's supposed to. Like you give your car a break, you give your computer a break, you give your television. Some of you give your television a break. Your cell phone, some of you do give it a break, but you do turn it off occasionally and allow it to just rest and everything to go back to normal. And the same thing falls true with your body. It is okay to give it a break. Do a bit of fasting and allow the body to reset itself. I read a story a long time ago that says, you know, the lions will eat 6 days of the week, a heavy meal, they're zebra, but on the seventh day, they will take a break and they won't eat. Who told them that? You know, it's not that the stuff wasn't available at the local grocery store, Walmart or something like that. And maybe they didn't have money that one day. However, they decided collectively to not eat for the 7 days. They take one day of rest. And this is also what we should be doing. Take a day of rest. Take a break. Give it a break. Allow yourself to reset. So there was a conversation we were having, and the bottom line was to eat right, to eat a plant-based diet, to be the best self. Yes, I understand. I don't eat meat, but I hear that steak is amazing. Okay, I'm sure it is. So it's bungee jumping. And, you know, I'm not doing that either because I'm always the one to say, what if? Anyway. Needless to say, plant-based diet, the human body was not designed to consume flesh. Yes, I said that. And we're not supposed to be eating flesh. We should not be eating flesh. It'll take a long time for it to come out of your body, for your body to get rid of all of it. And when you do that, actually, you'll realize you get rid of a lot of the fast food restaurants, which is also important. Make your diet a plant-based diet. That's what you should be doing. Lean into spirituality and learn how to live the happy self, to be happy all the time. When we talk about spirituality, we get people on board who are now listening to the shows and now starting to understand that there is a little bit more. And by doing that, they are starting to feel a little bit uplifted, happier than they were, lighter than they've been, and starting to see the way clear and planning the futures and doing things that is going to be remarkable for them. Because at this point, they're starting to realize, I am my tomorrow. So let's prepare for it today. Your thoughts are tomorrow. And when you make them now, they will reflect you tomorrow and all the tomorrows to come. Step back from all of that. Step back from all of that. Realize you are the most important person. You are the most important person to you. And do not allow yourself to be considered the back seat. You are the top shelf. You need to understand that. Learn how to take great care of yourself. I've said it many times. Take on this idea. I owe me. You've heard of many IOUs and you've been paying them for the rest of your life. take on this idea of I whole me. It is my duty to myself to be the best self that I can possibly be, and then in turn help others, or just show them by your action how to do this, and they will follow. They will put down the extra load that they're carrying, or realize that it's not relevant and it's not important. It serves no purpose. Because at the end of the day, does it really, really matter? Aren't we all just playing a game of Monopoly? And when we get up from the table and go back to the next life, everything is laid out of your control until next time? At the end of the day, does it really matter? If you're not happy doing it, at the end of the day, aren't you going to miss out on the happiness? If you're not loving the life you live, at the end of the day, you realize that you've missed out on your happiness. If you're running too fast to accomplish something, you're chasing something in front of you, at the end of the day, you're realizing that you're wasting the time that you could have had to plan a more successful, meaning, happy life. So what are we sacrificing for what we think we're going to get? We're madly climbing that hill to get on top of the hill, to get that golden prize, or to be the top of the chain, or to be the leader of the corporate. We're trying to get there, but it's not, first of all, that position is not for everybody. And there's not a lot of room at the very peak of that huge climb. So it's quite obvious that a lot of people won't make it. Look at a mountain. It's very small at the bottom, very big at the bottom, my point, but it goes up to a peak, a top, where it's not as big. And that's the same thing. So you're climbing to get up there. But what if that is not your purpose? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're going to do when you find that goal? But when you do find that goal, you've given up all your life to get to it. You're using the ideas of your younger person, the younger years, to say, when I get this, that will be it. Yes, that will be it. Then you get there and you realize you spent so much of your time getting there, climbing. Now you're tired, or your ideas have changed and you don't want to do that anymore. It has become pointless. And then if some of us take it further, trying to convince our children that this is the way to go, let's do it. And you're pointing them in a direction. And because they're young, they will listen to you. And you've just knocked them off their path. And I'm not saying let your kids run free. Let them do what they want to do. But at the same time, as parents, you have to accept the fact that you don't own these children. They are simply just in your care until they're able to fly on their own. You're just the bow, and they are the arrow. And you let that fly. Where they land, it's up to them. It might not be what you choose, but you had your choice already, and you don't get to. You allow them to be who they are. That's my take on it. Don't teach them a sin, because I don't think that's real. Teach them to eat the right foods and to take care of themselves. And like I said, you're the bow. You're going to line up everything and point in the direction, and then you're going to let it fly. And that's all you're going to do. And once they're gone, you have to accept the fact that that's it. You've done your part. Woohoo. Let's bring on the happy dance. They're not yours to keep. They're yours to hopefully. And they chose you as a parent. These children chooses you as a parent, because they realize from the other side, this is where I'm going to go. I want to learn this skill. I want to collect that. I want to live here. I want to live in this country. And you made that conscious decision before you came here. We don't own the children. They're their own people, believe it or not. And then one day they will fly off. The mama birds always pick up the baby birds and throw them out of the nest and says, fly. Sounds cruel, doesn't it? But it is life. It is exactly what life is all about. Have we got anything else?
We have a couple, three emails here. Let's see. So Rhett writes in, and Rhett says, if we never leave this earth and we keep coming back, won't eventually the population be too high for the earth? And that's from Rhett. Thank you, Rhett. Annie writes in, what exactly is sin? Yeah, we know, she says, yeah, we know what sin is in relation to the Bible, but if we disagreed with someone or they wanted to do something and it was wrong in our eyes, would we tell them that's a sin? it may not be wrong in their eyes. And that's from Annie. And, oh, Petra writes in, and Petra says, just very curious here, Mr. Barrington, do you celebrate Christmas? And that's from Petra. And let's see here. Nan writes in and says, how much sleep do we actually need? I know it's different for people, and I know when you Google it, there are other times listed for different age groups, etc. But in reality, how much sleep does the average human being need? And that's from Nan. And your last one here, Paul writes in and says, the story with the zebra and the lions is funny. If the lions only eat 6 days, how do the zebras know what day to come out and play without getting eaten? that's funny. Thank you, Paul. And back to you, sir.
Yeah, Paul, that's quite funny. I don't know, because I don't believe they have a calendar. And we know all the animals are being governed until we mess with them. They're being governed by the laws of nature. The lions will do what they do, and the zebra, I don't know if they realize they get a day off. But you know, a lot of the books that we've read said that's one day, take a break. So, but you know, sorry, at the end of 7 days or 6 days, you take the seventh day and rest, something like that. But maybe they're on the same schedule. You know, they're not as tense after Saturday night kind of thing, because you know, Sunday is going to be a free, you know, get out of jail day kind of thing. I don't know how they know, but and I thank you for that email. It was quite funny. It made me laugh. Thank you very much for this. And the zebra, we should send them a signal or something. Maybe we'll find out their email and email them the instructions for them to follow, or leave them alone. They'll just follow the ones that they've got. Thank you for that. Nan, sleep, how much do we need? Well, I'll tell you exactly, and everybody listen carefully to this one. I'll tell you exactly how much sleep you need. You need as much sleep as when you lay down and fall asleep, your body will wake you up when it's good and ready. If you're doing it by pills, if you're doing it by radio alarms or clock, alarm clocks, or, you know, we always see them old movies where they smack the clock. It's not enough. It's not enough, or it's not deep enough. So when you fall asleep and you've had a good sleep, you had a dream, everything's fantastic, there will come a time where you just wake up, and that's when you can tell how much sleep your body needs. It'll let you know. And if you're dragging your feet out of the bed and you're not feeling it, and you've had to hit snooze 3 or 4 times, like that, I don't even get that. I don't understand why people hit snooze. I think that is cruel, an unusual punishment, because you're not going to fall into sleep in that 10 minutes. You're just going to hurt yourself more, and then you do it again. And it's like chopping your fingers off one at a time, and then you're crying, ouch, 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 but you're still doing it. I don't get the whole snooze thing. But definitely sleep, when you've had enough, your body will wake up without the alarm clock or a pill. And please don't be taking a pill to go to sleep and take another pill to wake you up. You're not doing it. Figure out what it's going to take. And sometimes restlessness is actually as minimal or small as not having enough water in your system. So try that. Try a lot of things, but don't take a pill to fall asleep and then take another pill to wake up. That's not right. Your body will wake you up. You lay down at around 11 o'clock at night, you're in a horizontal position, and you will stay there till after 2 p.m. or about 2:30 in the morning. The body has the ability to rejuvenate itself, and that's when it begins. And around 2:30 in the morning, it's completed. Everything is gone through. The liver starts first at around 11 o'clock. And this is all the rules that's laid out by the laws. I didn't write them down, but this is the rule we finished. Around 11 o'clock, you'll feel tired and sleepy. Or before, and you should be asleep. And because of the natural order of the planet and the things that we're all connected to, like the invisible internet for people, and we're all interconnected to it, we're all a part of that thing, we're getting our signals equally across the globe, we're going to lay down at around 11 o'clock, and then by maybe 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock, your body will say, okay, I'm good, let's go. And you get up. You are supposed to be awake before the roosters, I think. And we're not doing that because we're so exhausted. We're taking so much. We're doing so much to our bodies. We don't have time to rest. We don't have time to do all these things. But if you are going to get the proper sleep and do it allow your body to wake up on its own. You're best, you're fresh, you're brand new around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Greatest ideas is going to come to you at that point. If you're a writer, if you're a singer, if you're a poet, you are sharpest. The sharpest you could possibly be is right after you've woken up on your own. Believe it or not, you're groggy, you're discombobulated for a good few seconds until you realize, oh yeah, here I am. And then everything is fantastic. You're back into a conscious state and life continues. If you are up at 11 o'clock from then on until in the morning, you are missing that moment to rejuvenate. Okay. You show up to the concert at 11 o'clock at night. You've already missed the band. You could catch it on recording, I guess, but you've missed it. You got to be there. The rejuvenation starts at the same time based on, you know, it's time to shut down and restart your system. And that's what I was saying today about earlier about restarting your diet stuff. You have to allow everything in your body to take a break and then you restart again. The same thing happens at the end of every day. You have to lay the body down because it's tired and then you allow it to rejuvenate. And thank God, now you've given it the right foods. It's going to get the proper rest. You've had enough liquid in your system, water in your system. You're going to flush out the water that's there. We're 80% of it. So drink a lot of water. It'll flush you out. And then you lay down and you allow your body to repair itself. Then you get up and you move on. That's how much sleep you need. Well, Petra's asking me if I believe in Christmas. That's kind of tricky because it's made up. It's a made up event. I do enjoy, I was talking to my boys this week, and I do enjoy the fact that they get excited, Christmas tree and this and all the fun thing around Christmas. And they're loving the event, and I think that's what I'm enjoying about it. If somebody had said, we're going to cancel Christmas and that's it, I don't think I'd shed a tear. I'd save a lot of money. A lot of stress. I don't have to clean up because this group of people is coming to my house. I don't have to do any of those things because I'm not attached to Christmas. I don't think it has anything to do with the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, it's been proven he was born sometime in June, and we decide to celebrate that birthday being the 25th day of the year as his birthday, but he wasn't born then. But it's fitting, I guess, to celebrate the end of the year. Look at how well it works for all the corporations. And, you know, the things that we have to give to our children or other people in our lives. Do I believe in Christmas? I don't know. To be honest with you, it's everything else about me is elevated around Christmas time because my work gets a lot busier. The traffic is chaos, utmost chaos. The stores are all packed. People just, it's more stressful for me at Christmas, but then I get the pleasure of watching my children when they're a lot younger, having a good day or a good season or a good time. So I'm on the fence with that. I enjoy the good parts of it, but the stressful parts, and a lot of you out there, parents, can relate to what I'm saying. It's a good time. You get some holidays. Will I shed a tear if it? No, absolutely not. And do you discuss sin with other people? They're doing something that you strongly disagree with. It depends on how it impacts you. You know, if they're smacking you in the face, you might not want to be around them. Or if they're getting you to be the getaway driver in some event that's illegal, you might not want to do it. Do you give them your opinion? I don't know, because they're already of an opinion that it's right. And you're saying it's not right. And you're looking at it from a different perspective. Maybe it's one of those things where you have to say, okay, that's your idea. You keep it over there. And this is mine. I'm going to keep it over here. I'm not saying sever or break the friendship or whatever the relationship may be. Simply because you don't agree with their ideas don't mean you have to shun them, depending on what that idea is. And it doesn't mean you have to invite them over to your house either for a family meal. We all have differences of opinion, and what we do most often is we keep them to ourselves. I don't believe you should spank the kids. Well, I talked to a whole generation before me, and they said, what's wrong with you? Of course you have to. You must. If you love your cows, you tie them up. If you love the kids, you beat them up. It's an old phrase. I don't think beat them up, but discipline them in the right way if you want. Well, you must, but the law has taken away that ability from all of us to really be as stern as we need to be. Now, I do understand the abusive side, and I do understand some people just take it to the limit. But when the kids are with you, you have to govern them to follow your rules simply because they're in your house and you're raising them up, and they did show up for that. But, and somebody's intervening with that, I think that's very wrong. But if you are abusing the children, by all means, they need to be taken away from you. They didn't sign up for that. At least I don't think that's the case. Differences in opinion will always exist, will always be a part of our everyday life. The people you work with every day, the ones that you share with, married to, you will always have the disagreement, but you have to sort of pick the fight that's going to cause less smoke. Avoid that situation. Rhett, we never leave here. And you're asking why we never leave and there's still so many people showing up. Does that mean we're going to have too much people on the planet or a bigger population? Well, nature has a way of balancing things. And I don't know when, how, or if even that's going to happen, but nature has a way of balancing things. You'll never put too many deers in the field. They're going to eat all the grass and they'll all die. So at some point she's going to have to bring in a wolf or a fox or something that's going to control that population. Are we going to get something? Well, it's happening right now. But the thing is, nature always balances everything out. I don't feel we'll ever be overpopulated. I don't care what the big science heads are saying. If we were overpopulated, we would know. I think they may be telling us that we're going to be, or we are overpopulated because maybe it doesn't work with their plan or their agenda. We are good to go. Nature has a way of taking care of all things that needs to be taken care of. Our population is growing. We're having more kids. We're doing more things. I don't know, 50 years ago, we didn't have so many people on the internet doing internet business. The world is changing. Maybe this time we need as many people as we can to make it happen. Are we going to eat ourselves out of home and land? No, it won't happen. Is the population too big? Well, what is too big? Isn't that asking me how long is a string? How long is a string? It's endless. Thank you all for joining the Barrington Show. You're listening to Barrington on realityradio101.com. I have a book out there, Awaken Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose. It gives you the heads up on how to live your life and how not to take instructions from others that's not serving you, and how much that instruction would probably benefit other people to get you to live their way or follow their rules. You have your own set of rules where you have to be tolerant. You live in this society. You can't be going around shooting people. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm simply saying that when you look within and bring out the good side of you, feed the wolf within you that is the most innocuous, and then you will live in society with everybody else. And the image that you're trying to create out there, the image that you would hope to see, the poster that you want on the wall, it's within you. So you change yourself. Change yourself. And if that person that's in your environment is just a wolf that's trying to eat, you know, to get rid of you, you may want to change the environment. Or sometimes it's okay to take care of the wolf because we have to. And our society is sort of getting rid of the bad apple that's causing a lot of bad things. And they also get rid of bad people who is implementing changes that they don't agree with. That's just how life works. I was told a long time ago that the first, when the queen bee dies, seven new ones, eggs are laid before she dies. And the first one that makes it out of their egg will go around instinctively and take care of the other six. So there's no conflict of two queens. And that's how nature takes care of what needs to be taken care of. Thank you for joining the show, everybody. I hope I answered all the questions that you're asking today. My final words here in the next minute or so is to tell you, take care of you. You are number one. You are on the top shelf. You're the most important person to you, and you have to act accordingly. We're all connected to each other. We're part of this great wave. You have a role that you play, and your role is not not less than mine or more than mine. Your role is a role to play. It's like the donuts in the boxes. They look different, but they're all donuts. You know, they come from a different place, come from the same place. If you really slice it down the middle, no pun intended. So take care of you. Try not to consume flesh. Eat a plant-based diet. Rest yourself properly. Allow yourself to fall asleep at night at ease and wake up the same way in the morning. Have a good week. I appreciate you tuning in today. You're listening to Barrington. Until next week, enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.